Belgic Confession, Article 23 on Justification. We believe that our salvation consists in the remission of our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, and that therein our righteousness before God is implied, as David and Paul teach us, declaring this to be the happiness of man, that God imputes righteousness to him without works. And the same apostle saith that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. And therefore we always hold fast this foundation, ascribing all the glory to God, humbling ourselves before him, and acknowledging ourselves to be such as we really are, without presuming to trust in anything in ourselves or in any merit of ours, relying and resting upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone, which becomes ours when we believe in him. This is sufficient to cover all our iniquities and to give us confidence in approaching to God, freeing the conscience of fear, terror, and dread, without following the example of our first father Adam, who, trembling, attempted to cover himself with fig leaves. And verily, if we should appear before God relying on ourselves or on any other creature, though ever so little, we should, alas, be consumed. Therefore, everyone must pray with David, O Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Our subject tonight is justification by faith alone, emphasizing those last three words. We're justified by faith alone. This doctrine, I remind you, was the origin and basis of the great 16th century Reformation. That's how it started. That's the key doctrine. And it has been rightly called the article of a standing or a falling church. Deny this gospel, this truth, and you're a false church. Hold this fast, and you are a standing church. Now, I want to prove to you that justification is by faith alone in looking, first of all, at three types of scriptures. First of all, those scriptures that teach that justification is by faith. And we're going to look at the book of Romans. Turn to Romans 3. I'm going to look at various passages now and in the next few minutes. I want, as it were, to overwhelm you with scriptures so you get the impression that this isn't just one or two verses. This is a big thing in the Bible. Romans 3 verse 22 says that the righteousness of God is by faith. Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Faith is the noun and believe is the verb in English, and in the Greek it's the same root. Faith, belief, believe. Romans 3 verse 22 says how you justified? Faith, believing. Verse 26 says that God is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 30 says, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, Jews, by faith, and uncircumcision, Gentiles, through faith. Chapter 5, verse 1, summing up the preceding argument, concludes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 9, verse 30 says, chapter 9, verse 30, that great chapter on double predestination, includes this regarding justification. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, justifying righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Chapter 10, verse 4 says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the goal of the law. He is the righteous one. And he is our righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verses 9 through 11 give us the promise. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's justification, or righteousness by faith alone. Because the scripture says, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then it goes on to say that this believing on Christ issues in calling upon the name of the Lord, verses 12 and 13. And how then, verse 14, shall they call in him whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then the complaint of verse 16, Lord, who hath believed our report, the gospel, through faith in which we're saved and justified? So faith, verse 17 continues, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I've quoted some passages that prove justification is by faith from the book of Romans. What other book especially teaches that justification is by faith?
Galatians.
And we'll look at that later. Here's our second thesis. We're going to look now at those texts which teach that justification is not by works. And again, the book of Romans, we'll be briefer here. And we'll be briefer because our last class, which is several weeks ago now, affirmed that justification is not by works. Whether these works are before conversion or after conversion, whether these works are the ceremonial law or the moral law, because all works are excluded, and whatever the motivation for these works, whether these works are done in order to merit or out of gratitude, justification is not by all, not by works, any and all works. Romans 3 verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law, by the works of the law, it's the same thing, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because the law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. The law comes and shows you that you can't keep it and shows you that you are sinful. That's the purpose of the law. You can't keep it to earn anything. The law comes to show you you're guilty. That's the first or evangelistic use of the law. Romans 9, verses 31 and 32. Romans 9, 31 and 32 says that Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness by works, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Chapter 10, verse 3, regarding the Jews, says, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness by their own works, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, if you wanted another book besides Romans that repeatedly affirms that justification is not by works, that book would be, Trevor?
Galatians.
Yes. Galatians is the answer to both questions. Now, we have other passages, and we're sticking to Romans here for the time being. We have other passages which say, in a verse or two verses together, that justification is by faith and not by works. That is, there are some verses which teach both one and two. Because remember, we're wanting to prove that justification is by faith alone. So some verses say it's by faith. And then somebody might say, well, it's by faith, but maybe it's by faith and something else. Then there are other verses which say that justification is not by works. And then there are other passages which say justification is by faith and not by works. That is to say, justification is by faith alone. Because what else could you possibly be justified with by if it's not works? So if justification is by faith and it's not by works, and there are even verses which say justification is by faith and not by works, that is to say the same thing as justification is by faith alone. Because all the errorists will admit, yeah, justification is by faith. Whatever they mean by that isn't always so clear. But they object to the word alone. The word alone is the key point. Let's look then at Romans 3, verses 19 through 22. Romans 3, 19 through 22. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. The law then is above everybody, as a tyrant, looking down upon poor, sinful man, so that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, or the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we can't be justified by the law, or by our deeds, or by our works. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So verses 19 and 20 say justification is not by works. 21 and 22 says by faith. And therefore Romans 3 verses 19 through 22 says justification is by faith and not by works. Staying in Romans 3, we'll look at verses 27 and 28, which have an important part to play in the history of Bible translation. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So it's not works, it's faith. Therefore we conclude. Therefore is a concluding word, and conclude is a concluding word. Therefore we conclude. This is our conclusion, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And I said that this has been an issue in Bible translation. Why? Something to do with Martin Luther. In Martin Luther's German translation of the Bible, in verse 28, he added the word alone. We conclude that a man is justified by faith alone, without the deeds of the law. And the word alone isn't in the Greek, and so the Roman Catholics hammered him. See, you're not a Bible translator, you're adding your own thoughts. You couldn't get in the Bible there, but you had to slip it in. And it's true, the word alone isn't there, but the idea of alone is there. Because if we're justified by faith and not by works, we are indeed justified by faith alone. And it's interesting too that those who go wrong on justification, those Protestants, nominal Protestants, who are apostatizing, almost invariably will criticize Luther on Romans 3 verse 28 for his translation of putting the word alone in there, which word isn't literally there in the Greek, but the idea is. And oftentimes that's the first way, or one of the earliest ways, in which they tip their hat and reveal where they are going. Now, this third statement, encompassing various Bible verses, apart from the book of Romans, where would you go for passages which teach both that justification is by faith and not by works? What book?
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Nope.
Go to the abstract, Galatians.
It's Galatians. Yep, you would go to the book of Galatians, but you're right insofar as Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says that salvation is by faith and not by work. And salvation includes justification. So let's turn to Galatians then. Let's turn to Galatians as to prove these three statements. That justification is by faith, that justification is not by works, and that justification is by faith and not by works. Let's start with Galatians 2 verse 16. Which is possibly one of the most emphatic statements in all the Bible, which definitely is. Galatians 2, verse 16. Listen for the positive and the negative here. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What's that? Statement 2. Justification is not by works. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Statement 1. Justification is by faith. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Statement 1. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Statement 1 again. And not by the works of the law. Number 2. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So I think we have three times it's affirmed in that verse that we're justified by faith, and three times it's explained that we're not justified by works. That is emphatic. That would be like somebody saying to you, you know, what hand do you write with? I write with my right hand and not my left hand, because I always write with my right hand because I'm not much use in my left hand, because with my left hand I haven't got much of a grip, but my right hand's really good. And you say to yourself, you know, Alright, you know, why did you not just say I'm right-handed? Well, you would say I want to be emphatic. And so Paul says, three times we're justified by faith, and three times we're not justified by works. He's saying we're justified by faith without works. That is, we're justified by faith alone. All works, any works, each and every work, before you're saved or after you're saved, whatever your motivation, works don't have any part to play in your justifying righteousness.
It's the objection of the Roman Catholic Church that it's not. He inserted the word alone. But they then said, okay, it's not works, but it's faith and something else.
We see what Rome does with works, as we saw in the last class, they say it's only certain works that are excluded. It's the works of the ceremonial law. But works of the moral law, you are justified by them. There's all sorts of dodges around it. So when we say we're justified but not by works, last week, then they try and get out of the works. And when we say, well, the Bible says we're justified by faith, we're going to come to that later on, then they're going to try and work out some way of dodging around the faith and pour all sorts of stuff into faith and redefine faith. And yeah. Galatians 3, let's look at some verses here quickly. Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. Look out for the word believe or faith. Even as Abraham believeth God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Justification by faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and are justified the way he was. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, conclusion, they which be of faith are blessed with the blessing of justification, along with faithful, that is, believing Abraham. Verses 10 through 12 exclude works. Justified by faith, verses 6 through 9. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. How in the wide world could you be justified by works if it puts you under the curse of God? For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you're going to try and justify yourself by what you do. You've got to keep absolutely everything in the Bible, or else you're cursed. Verse 11 adds, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith, not works. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And he's going to live in the curse. Verse 14 concludes, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through works? No, through faith. And then verses 21 through 26 of this same chapter goes on to say, verse 21 for instance, if God could have given a law which would have given us life, then righteousness would have been by the law. But God couldn't give a law like that because we're all sinners. The scripture concludes that everybody's under sin. So the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before the faith came, we're kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed in the New Testament with the fullness of the gospel. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not works. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, the law, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. One more text, this time chapter 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, and by the works of the law, ye are fallen from grace. So you can't be justified under the law unless you're fallen by grace. It doesn't mean you were a true believer and now you've apostatized. It means you're fallen from the doctrines of grace and the grace of God. One more text outside of Galatians and Romans, Philippians 3 verse 9, an especially good verse,
because it teaches that justification is by faith and that it is not by works.
It's Paul's own personal testimony of his own desire to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
So we have seen now from Romans, Galatians, and even Philippians 3 verse 9, repeatedly, these three statements, justification is by faith, justification is not by works, and even sometimes the two are coupled together, justification is by faith and not by works.
Now, I want to prove this truth, that justification is by faith alone, without works, from a consideration of one great biblical character. Who is the one great character in the Bible who especially underscores in his life these three statements? Who is it?
Abraham.
Why is it particularly good that this is the way Abraham was justified?
His Old Testament.
But yes, that is part of it, yeah. That it was in the Old Testament.
Is he before the giving of the law?
Because he's before the giving of the law, that's also part of it. Yeah.
He's the father of the faithful.
He's the father of the faithful. If Abraham was justified by faith and not justified by works, and justified by faith and not by works, and since he's the father of the faithful, then everybody can only be justified that way. So where especially would you go in all the Bible? Where would you go? Chapter, not chapter and verse, but book and chapter for this teaching that Abraham was justified by faith and not by works. What chapter of the Bible?
Romans 4.
Romans 4. That's it. Romans 4. And Romans 4 itself comes at the exact issue that we're dealing with tonight. Romans 4 verse 1. What shall we say then? Here's the question. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, the father of the faithful, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, hath found? We're talking about justification, that we're justified by faith and not by works in the previous dozen or so verses. Now, what do we say about Abraham? Verse 2. Because if Abraham was justified by works, well then he could glory and boast as if he'd done something. But he better not do it before God, because God doesn't like boasting like that. But what does the scripture say? Then he quotes the Old Testament. He quotes Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He had righteousness, justifying righteousness, through faith. And this is important, verse 4 goes on to say, because if you work for something, that's the idea of justification by works, if you work for something, then it's not a matter of grace and gift, it's a matter of debt. Some of you were working today, and you put in a certain number of hours, and you probably know how many hours you put in, right? And you reckon, therefore, that your boss or your employer owes you for that. That's a debt. If he pays you for what you did, you don't say, oh, that's wonderful, that's like a birthday present, that's a pure gift. No, you earned it. And this is what's saying, if justification is by works, you earn it. You make God your debtor. Even if part of your justifying righteousness is something that you did, it's a matter of debt. Verses 6 through 8 then flash to David, the example of David's justification, to support the main point about Abraham. Verse 9 returns then to the issue of Abraham. Well, we say, verse 9, that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And how was it reckoned, this faith then, for righteousness? Well, it was reckoned to him before he was circumcised, because he believed God and was reckoned righteous, according to the text in Genesis 15, verse 6. Although he was reckoned righteous, actually, even before Genesis 15, verse 6, from the moment he believed And he believed way back in Ur of the Chaldees when God called him, but that's beside the point now. Genesis 17, a couple of chapters later, after Genesis 15, verse 6, he gets circumcised. And Romans 4, verse 11, talks about the righteousness of faith that he had. He's the father of all who believe. Verse 12 says he's the father of Jews and Gentiles. Anyone who walks in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. And then in verses 13 through 17, it's emphasized again that we're justified, or that Abraham was justified and reckoned righteous by faith and not by works. Verse 13 says there was a promise. Promise. And what pertains to the promise? What do you do with a promise? You believe it. So once the Bible talks about promises, you don't work a promise. Law and works are corollaries, but promise and faith, you believe a promise. The promise that Abraham would inherit the world, not just the land of Canaan, came to him not through the law, which is only given in Moses' day, but came through faith, the righteousness of faith. That's those who are justified by faith that will inherit the world. Verse 14 says, if they which are of the law inherit the world, then faith is made void and the promise is made of none effect. See, works and law, one way, and promise and faith, the other way. The law comes and the law works wrath, because the law shows sin. The law provokes the anger of God, because nobody can keep it. And therefore, it, that is, inheritance and justification, is of faith, so that it might be by grace. So it's all according to the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And this idea of the promise is mentioned in Romans 4, various places, as well as in Galatians 3, verses 17 through 29. It's important. Then verses 18 through 25, 18 to the end of the chapter, says that Abraham is justified by faith against hope. He believed in hope. Verse 18 says, verse 19, he wasn't weak in faith. Verse 20, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. Verse 21, he was fully persuaded that God would keep his promise. And therefore, it's all of faith, and righteousness is imputed to him. And then verses 23 and 25 say, you know, but you oughtn't think this is all just about Abraham, this Jew who lived in the Middle East hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, although Jew comes from Judah, who was a descendant of Abraham. Verse 23 says, it wasn't written for his sake alone. It's not just for him. But it's written, verse 24, for us also, to whom righteousness will be imputed if we believe in the God who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. So, justification is by faith. Justification is not by works. Justification by faith is not by works. Galatians says this. Romans says this. And it's all exemplified in Abraham, the father of the faithful. By the way, is there anywhere else in the Bible where we read of Abraham being justified by faith and not by works? What book would you go to that teaches that Abraham, especially what book?
Hebrews.
No.
Galatians.
Galatians. And what chapter?
Chapter 3. 16. No, 29.
They would all do it, yep. Now, one final piece of proof. Turn to Romans 1, verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17. And listen out for the word faith. Tell me, how often is the word faith used in this verse in connection with righteousness, that is, justifying righteousness? For therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How many times?
Three times.
Any references to work there? That righteousness comes through our works or something that we do, or keeping the law or our deeds? And when it says from faith to faith, it means that this righteousness and justification begins with faith and ends with faith, and it's faith in the middle. It's all of faith from beginning to end. And this is a powerful testimony, this one verse, a powerful testimony, because it's so emphatic. Three times faith is mentioned in connection with justification and righteousness. And it's from faith to faith. This is so powerful because it's the start of Romans, which is the great epistle on justification. And verse 17 is the thesis of the epistle. That's what the letter is going to prove. Here we are, here's Paul's thesis. Now I'm going to tell you what this epistle is about, or at least the opening chapters and how everything else flows from that. It's all about righteousness, the righteousness of God, and justification, and it's from faith to faith, and they just live by faith. This is my thesis. I'm going to spend the next few chapters telling you about sin, so we can't be justified by works. Then we're going to tell you we're justified by faith alone. Then I'm going to tell you that this is the way Abraham was justified, chapter 4. And then chapter 5, I'm going to draw some conclusions from it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then I'm going to explain how we die through sin in Adam, and this was imputed to us in original sin, and then how it's imputed to us the obedience of Christ on the other side of the coin in justification. And then after accepting about justification, I'll tell you about sanctification, about assurance, and about double predestination, about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles, and some practical exhortations. Romans 1, verse 17. Is everybody thoroughly convinced that justification is by faith and not by works, and that justification is by faith alone?
Yes.
Good. That was a big question. Have you got that one wrong? A bit of a question. Now, I mentioned, sorry, Julian.
Actually, I have a question. In quite a few verses there, it talks about faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Am I right in thinking that means he's the object of our faith? It's not his faith.
But yes, we're not justified by Jesus' believing.
No.
Jesus did believe. According to his human nature, he believed. He hoped and he loved and he believed according to his human nature. But it's not his believing anymore in his hope or his loving. Yeah. More could be said about that. Maybe we should include that in the last winding up class. We'll see how we get on in terms of preparing it between now and then. There are two movements within apostatizing Protestantism. Now, a movement is something different from a church. A movement within apostatizing Protestantism which tries to pull the wool over people's eyes. Let's imagine, for the sake of argument, that you are a Protestant theologian who is apostatizing, who is denying justification by faith alone. You've got two problems. Even the people in the churches, despite their ignorance, know that justification is by faith alone. It's somewhere along they've heard this. And they know, let's assume a few of them at least read the Bible, and they know that the Bible says we're justified by faith and not by works. And so there are especially two movements, relatively recent, within apostatizing Protestantism that seek to corrupt this truth, that justification is by faith alone. What are these two movements?
A new perspective of Paul.
And?
The federal vision.
A new perspective of Paul and the federal vision. So, you say to them, what is this justification by faith alone? Protestant doctrine. What is this justification by faith that Paul writes about in Romans and Galatians especially? Well, when it says we're justified by faith, it means we're justified by faith and the works that faith works. What do you got? We're justified by faith means we're justified by the works that faith produces.
So,
when it says we're justified by faith, well, there's not a big pile of difference between faith and faithfulness. If someone believes they're a believer, and if someone has faith, they're faithful. So when it says we're justified by faith, we're actually justified by our faithfulness.
Would that not make Christ an incomplete Savior?
It would. Or when it says we're justified by faith, it means we're justified by the disposition of faith. That inward attitude of the heart, of receptivity. That's what justifies us, because we're so good and we're humble and meek inside. Or when it says we're justified by faith, it means we're justified by the obedience to faith. The Bible does talk about the obedience to faith, but the Bible says we're justified by faith. It doesn't say we're justified by the obedience to faith. So you see what they're doing? It's a bit like, as I said earlier,
what they try and do with works to get around. We're not justified by works. Ah, but that only excludes works done to merit. If you do works of gratitude, they're not excluded. Well, that only excludes the works of the ceremonial law, like circumcision, but works of the moral law, they're not excluded. Well, that only excludes works before you're converted, but your works after you're converted, they count. So now they're saying justification by faith means we're justified by the obedience of faith, or the works of faith, or the disposition of faith, or the faithfulness of faith.
Those two movements are only going to end up in the one place, eventually.
Yeah.
So they're heading back to
the heaven
church, if they want.
They're heading to Rome, and they're heading to hell. Yeah. Yeah.
I think another very... another thing bordering on this is the fundamentalists who say that it's our faith that saves us, and it's something you come up by yourself.
Yes. Yep. And when they say that, they're echoing the basic Arminian view. Mm-hmm. You know, because faith is something you drum up, and that faith then is accepted as if it were the righteousness of God that you worked yourself. And we'll come to that in a different way. Different. So sometimes they redefine faith. Justification by faith means the works of faith produces the obedience of faith, the disposition of faith, faithfulness. They keep just changing the terms. There's another way around it. When it says we're justified by faith and not by works, it means, say some of them, that we're justified, that only refers to our justification at the very beginning of our Christian life. At the beginning of our Christian life, when we're first converted, we're justified by faith and not by works. But there's two times of our justification. There's justification at the start, and that's by faith and not by works. And then there's justification on the last day, when you are justified by your faith and your works. But that's not what the Bible... No. There's one justification. God declares us righteous with the same righteousness at the beginning of our life, at the end of our life, at the middle of our life, and it's always by faith alone. And by the way, Roman Catholicism also makes this twofold division in justification. There's initial justification. We're justified by baptism. That's Rome's teaching. And then we're justified in our final justification by faith and works. And it just goes to show you the total depravity of man, and that if you give a man a wee bit of time, he can squirm his way, or at least try to squirm his way, out of anything. Like, look at all the passages, and this is part of the reason why Romans and Galatians are justified by faith. We're not justified by works. All our passages say we're justified by faith without works. Galatians 2:16 says that we're justified by faith and not by works, and it's not by works, because if it was this, then it was by faith, and it's not by works, and they can still squirm. Now, we come to this question, and our treatment wouldn't be complete without it. Why? Why is justification by faith alone and not works? Why must justification be by faith alone and not works? Why could God, with regard to us as sinners, why could God himself not justify us, but only by faith alone? What is it about justification that it must be by faith alone and without works? Why could it not by repentance? Why could we not be justified by love? Why could we not be justified by hope? Why must we be justified by faith, and only faith, and faith alone? Why could God be something else? Because unless we get this, we haven't really got the rationale of it. Why must justification be by faith alone?
Should we come both?
Yes, that definitely is part of it. Yep.
I think faith has something to do with Christ.
Yes.
There's no other vehicle that takes you to Christ for your salvation than apart from faith. Hope won't do it, love won't do it, repentance doesn't do it, because it's Christ alone, that's the only vehicle you'd like to take you to in salvation.
Yeah.
Is the answer whereby we appropriate this justification in ourselves, that we know it, that it's ours?
Yes.
We cannot know it any other way.
Yeah.
So it's a vehicle, it's the... that's sort of appropriation.
Aye, and hope isn't it, or love isn't it? Yeah. Those are all very, very good answers. I'm going to work through it from a slightly different angle, but saying essentially what you're saying with a certain method here. First of all, let's think about faith. What is faith? Justification is by faith. Thinking as a Reformed Christian in the light of our creeds,
Where do you go to explain what faith is in the creeds?
Where do you go in the creeds?
Lord's Day 7. Lord's Day 7. First of all, we'll look at answer 21 for a couple of points. Then we'll look at answer 20 for a third point. Let's look then at the elements in the definition of faith in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. Answer 21 to the question, what is true faith, begins, true faith is a certain knowledge. So faith is knowledge. So there is the knowledge of faith. In justification, we know, think of the two components, we know the forgiveness of sins, negative, and we know imputed righteousness. Justification, we said, going back to the definition, justification is a declaration, a legal declaration, where? In our hearts, in our consciences, that we are righteous. So a faith then is knowledge, and justification is the forgiveness of sins and imputed righteousness. Then faith must be the only thing that could know that we're forgiven our sins and that we're imputed righteous. Know that as a declaration in us. So it can only be by faith, because faith is a certain knowledge. Faith is not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but faith is also an assured confidence. So there we have the confidence or the trust of faith. So faith is that grace whereby we trust that our sins have been forgiven and that righteousness has been imputed to us. So it is this knowledge and this trust that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, the negative, everlasting righteousness, the positive, and salvation, since we're forgiven and righteous, they're freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Look at question and answer 80, or 20. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him, engrafted into Christ, and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And that engrafting into Christ speaks of the bond of faith, which is union with Christ. So faith is that which justifies us, because faith is a bond or union with Christ, whereby we receive the forgiveness of sins, which are in him, and the imputed righteousness, which he wrought for us. So justification is by faith alone, because of what faith is, as knowledge, because there's knowledge in justification. I know that my sins are forgiven and that I'm righteous. Justification can only be by faith, because faith is confidence and trust that my sins are forgiven and that I'm imputed righteous. And faith is a bond that we're engrafted to Christ, united with him, and in union with Christ, then his righteousness is imputed to us. So we're justified by faith alone, because given what faith is, then that just fits with the truth of justification. Then there's something else. Second factor. The nature of faith is extraspective. Extraspective. One word with two parts. Extraspective. Now you're more familiar with the word introspective. What does it mean if someone is introspective?
To look inside themselves.
Yeah. So what does spective mean? Think of some words like the sound of it like spective.
Spectacles.
Yeah. Spectacles. Glasses. Spectator. Spectacular. But not expectation. That's a different word. Okay? So that spect bit has to do with looking. So introspective means looking inward, looking inside yourself. And then extraspective means looking
away from yourself,
looking outwards. And so faith, especially in justification, looks outside of oneself and away from oneself at Jesus Christ and his cross. And this is why justification by faith alone is the inveterate enemy of mysticism. Mysticism is a difficult concept for us to grasp because it's so far away from the Protestant faith. But mysticism is all about looking within yourself, and somehow or other, and typically without even Jesus Christ, achieving some sort of union with God, where you're swallowed up with the divine. Big in Roman Catholicism, there's a mystical stream in Islam, especially among the Sufis. But the Protestant doctrine of justification by faith alone guards against this unhealthy, unbiblical, anti-Christian mysticism. Because justification by faith alone, the faith looks outside of ourselves, away from ourselves, and looks alone to Jesus Christ and his cross. So since faith looks away from itself and looks to Jesus Christ and appropriates him, and all of our salvation and righteousness is outside of ourselves, if not anything that we have done or any good feeling in ourselves, then it has to be by faith. It has to be by faith. Now, there are two verbs in Belgic Confession 23 which speak of faith as extraspective. What are the two verbs in Belgic Confession 23? Two verbs which flow from this idea that we're looking outside ourselves in justification. Paragraph 2, first sentence on Article 23, both begin with the letter R.
Relying and resting.
So, you know, here's the obedience of Christ and him crucified. So here's Jesus Christ on earth 2,000 years ago, and his obedience and his cross. And we are relying on him and his obedience and suffering. So when we do that, we're way outside ourselves. In space and time, we're relying on this one. And we're resting in him. We're not relying and resting upon anything we've done, but on what he has done 2,000 years ago in another part of the world. There was another man who lived, our Savior, and he died, and he's our righteousness. That's what faith does.
The Roman Catholic said that justification is by faith and works. How do they make provision for people who can't do good works? Maybe someone who we would, for example, the guy that's friendly with Susan Prince, the Down syndrome guy, Susan Stoller's convinced that he is a believer, but ultimately he can't really perform good works in the same capacity as an able-bodied person. So,
Rome makes provision for you know, those who are mentally impaired or those who die in infancy. And that provision that Rome makes in Roman Catholic dogma is
baptism.
We're justified by baptism. And you can just baptize the child, and then you have baptism by midwives. Rome allows the baptism by women. There it goes anti-clerical. There it goes anti-male hierarchy.
So it doesn't believe in good works on faith then?
Well, in those extraordinary conditions, you know, we believe as Protestants that those who are justified by faith alone do good works. But we also believe
with Romans and being semi-Pelagians, not to some extent deny original sin as Pelagians do. And so say that someone who's, for instance, described as an embassy, that isn't able to do any of these things.
Rome has a very weak view of original sin. It's heretical. And baptism can come and take it all away.
What's he said about the thief on the cross?
Well, the thief on the cross went to heaven, but he had the desire for baptism.
Okay. He didn't do any good works. So he was justified by faith alone. Yeah.
Well, they could try and work, you know, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, and then he rebuked the other guy and said to him, you know, you can always work him in. Yeah. And then think too, as the third argument as to why faith alone is the only means of justification. Faith alone fits with the sole ground of justification. Remember, we had a class on the theological framework of justification. We said the source of justification is the eternal love and grace of God. The ground of justification, the legal basis of justification, is
death,
the death and obedience of Jesus Christ and then the instrument of justification is faith. Because faith, therefore, can be the only instrument or means which can appropriate or receive or lay hold upon the forgiveness of sins and righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So Christ and his cross and his obedience are outside of us. His suffering and holy law keeping was in the past. And so faith then can be the only instrument which can lay hold on that and bring it close and receive it for ourselves. Love can't do that. Hope can't do that. Repentance can't do that. Good works can't do that. Faith is the only thing that could do that. Looking outside itself, laying hold upon something and appropriating it.
Sure. I think one of the best pictures of that is the serpent in the wilderness. And Christ himself used it as a visual aid for Nicodemus.
He did. Yep. But it is an example of faith. You know, if you look at yourself when you've been bit by that serpent in Numbers 21, that won't heal you. You've got to look away from yourself to that brazen serpent, which is a picture of Christ on the cross and the faith. And then finally, I want to come back to these two that I jotted down earlier. Finally, justification by faith alone is necessary for what we can call the five solas. The five onlys. We're justified by faith alone, through grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to Scripture alone. And we see this even in Father Abraham, even in Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, as we've said, teaches that we're justified by faith alone. We repeatedly said justification by faith, so justification not by works, so justification by faith and not by works. So that much is clear. How does Romans 4 regarding Abraham prove that justification by faith alone is necessary for grace alone? Grace alone. There's one verse. Actually, Brian mentioned it earlier in a different connection.
Verse 4?
Verse 4 is sort of number 2 verse. Verse 16 says, therefore it, justification, is of faith, so that it might be by grace. See, if justification is by works, then it's not grace. But if it's works, that is, you don't do anything, you renounce all doing, and you look outside yourself to what Jesus Christ has done, then it's entirely of grace. So faith alone is the only way in which you can keep grace alone. If somebody teaches justification by faith and works, you lose the gospel of grace. And then Romans 4 verse 4, as Julian said, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Romans 11 verse 6 is similar. It says, if by grace, it's dealing with election here, but you could say the same thing about justification, if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. And so faith and justification refuses to work. Faith and justification renounces work. And faith and justification, extrospective, looks outside itself to the work and obedience of somebody else, Jesus Christ. Which leads us to this point. Justification by faith alone serves the gospel of grace alone. And now, Christ alone. Where is that taught in Romans chapter 4? The last couple of verses. This righteousness shall be imputed to us also if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So if you're justified by faith alone, then you're looking outside yourself. It's nothing that you do. Therefore, it's by grace alone. And it's by grace alone because it's all in Christ alone. And this serves the glory of God alone. Look for that in Romans chapter 4.
Verse 20.
Verse 20 is the key one. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith alone serves the glory of God alone. And that's why verse 17 says that this God whom Abraham believed was the God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Because when you, those who trust for all their righteousness in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone, are saying it's all of God, and God's the God who calls those things which are not as though they were, and God's the God who raises up the dead. And if you say, well, how does this serve, how does this teach justification by faith alone, how does this fit with Scripture alone? How would you argue that? How does justification by faith alone serve the Reformation principle of Scripture alone?
Verse 23.
Written?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that's it. That's it. For instance, here Paul in Romans 4 says, what about Abraham our father? Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? Because Scripture alone is the only thing in the history of this world that has ever taught justification by faith alone, through grace alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God. Because everywhere else, every other philosophy or religion of man teaches that we're righteous before God by our own works. And nobody has ever dreamt up anything like justification by faith alone. The philosophers and the great men of this world, they never get near it. To conclude then, let's read not Belgic Confession 23, but Belgic Confession 22. The second and last paragraph of it. Because chapter 22 is about, article 22 is about faith, and article 23 is about justification. Then that second paragraph of article 22 sort of leads in from faith to justification. Therefore, we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone, or by faith without works. See, the Roman Catholic will say, where does it say in the Bible that we're justified by faith alone? Where did you get that alone word? And the Reformed Confession says that to say that we're justified by faith without works, the Bible definitely teaches that, in so many words, is to say we're justified by faith alone. Because works are the only other thing that you possibly could be justified with. However, to speak more clearly, when we say we're justified by faith alone, we do not mean that faith itself justifies us. As if the act of believing, see, the point about our believing is it goes outside ourselves to Christ. For faith is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ our righteousness. And Christ our righteousness, that's the righteousness which justifies us. And so Jesus Christ, imputing to us all his merits, not ours, and so many holy works which he has done for us, not works we've done ourselves, and in our stead, he is our righteousness. And faith, this is the role of faith, it is an instrument that keeps us in communion with him in all his benefits, which, when become ours, are more than sufficient to acquit us of all our sins. And so next time, Lord willing, we're going to deal with some objections to this and any other points which you might raise that we have time for in our last class.